Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal. And I'm here today. I'm on my own. Bruce McCurdy is, he's been in a hockey pool for the last 40 years, I believe. And he's with his friends in Newfoundland, engaged in that pool. And Kurt Levens is at work today. As many of you were, as the Oilers played the Cologne Sharks, beat them 4-3 in overtime. So I've written the game great. That's already posted. And I'm just going to do a quick podcast on the game. I want to start out by talking about Ethan Bear. I can tell you that at the Cult of Hockey, I've worked with three writers over the years, Jonathan Willis, Bruce McCurdy, and Kurt Levens now. And all three of them at various times have been much more bullish on Ethan Bear than I have been. It seems like every time I've watched him, and including last season at the end of last year, his skating didn't look to me to be strong enough for him to be a successful NHL player. And he needed to improve on that skating if he ever was going to be an NHL player. And I was kind of 50-50 on whether that would happen or not. And I certainly thought that this year he would need to spend the year in the AHL again, working on his skills, working on his skating, on his strength before he was ready for the NHL. Well, I have to say that Ethan Bear is making a believer out of me in the last month. He has been getting consistently stronger as a skater. And I've really noticed it in his defensive play. I don't know if this is, just his development as a young man and as a young player. Trent Yanni deserves a little bit of credit here for giving him some right messages, but he is far more aggressive right now than he's ever been on the puck before. When the puck carrier has it, he's right there tracking him, never turning away, stopping and starting, keeping himself between the puck carrier and the net. And he's on that player. He's right with him, and he's aggressively going after him in a way that I had not seen previously in Ethan Bear's game. If he can hold his own on defense as a third pairing defenseman in the NHL, and I don't see any reason right now why that can't happen, he's going to make this Oilers team. He's going to make it ahead of Evan Bouchard, even though Bouchard maybe have a higher end offensive ceiling than Bear. Even at this point, Bouchard does have a higher end ceiling. He might even be a better passer right now than Bear, but Bouchard's defensive game isn't close to where Bear's game is right now. So I see Bear having the advantage. He has always been really smart with the puck. He can walk blind, get off a shot. Ethan Bear can. And we saw that smarts again tonight, today in overtime, where he got the puck. Very cool. He made a pass down, kind of a hard pass down to Ryan Strome, who put it in the net for the overtime winner for the Edmonton Oilers. So, wow, what a development for the Edmonton Oilers to have Ethan Bear coming through, Evan Bouchard looking good, Connor Yamamoto looking good, Jesse Puljujärvi looking good. Puljujärvi, of course, was a high draft pick, but Bear wasn't. I think he was taken in the fourth or fifth round and 120th overall, something in that range. Yamamoto was a late, mid to late first round pick. So to have players like this come through for the Oilers, we haven't had that in some time in Edmonton where players in that draft range have become useful NHLers. And it's absolutely critical for the Oilers, if they're going to advance as a team, to have that kind of breakthrough from players at that level. It's surprising because we haven't had it. It's surprising to see these guys playing in that manner and coming through. So just a really kind of exciting and positive development heading into the year. Good on Ethan Bear and good on Todd McClelland. I've criticized McClelland a lot for many of the things he did last year at the team, but he brought up Bear. He stuck with Bear. Bear was struggling defensively on the third pairing. McClelland continued to play him. And I didn't think it was a good idea, but clearly the coach knows a thing or two about hockey, I guess. And it really seemed to pay off in terms of Bear learning some hard lessons and perhaps putting in that work. I mean, we did hear that he came into camp and aced his fitness test, that he had done the physical work over the summer. And those games last year, I think there were 17 that he played for the Oilers where he did struggle so badly. Maybe they really told him that he had to work on his conditioning if he was going to make it. So again, that was McClellan getting a young player, seeing something there, sticking with him, and letting him learn some hard lessons at the NHL level. And I think that we're now seeing the fruits of that experimentation from the coach. So good on McClellan. There was one comment from McClellan that I didn't like so much, and we're going to just deal with that for a second. I wrote a post called Triggered. And when I say that I'm triggered by something, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I'm just a fan here, like a cranky fan. And I'm not saying, you know, that I'm always right on these things, but I am saying, you know, that I was triggered by this. And I do have a strong opinion on this, which you can take it or leave it. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is I'm not taking myself too seriously when I'm critiquing the coach. I'm just one fan, one guy with a voice, and this is my take on it. But McClellan was being interviewed by John Shannon, and here's what he had to say. Shannon was asking him about Draisaitl on the second line, and McClellan immediately piped up and he says, "It's important to have a dominant number two center, and we feel we have two of them. We have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Leon Draisaitl, so those aren't bad options. So everybody wants to put Leon in that hole. We have a young fellow that was first pick overall in Nugent-Hopkins. He's proven he can score in the league. He's proven he can check. He's reliable all over the arena. So there is that option. Obviously, Leon being a bigger body and driving his own line on offense is a luxury that we have, and we'd like him to play there. We will start him there. But if it gets stale, we can always move people around." So this is why this bothered me so much. The coach finally went to Nugent-Hopkins on McDavid's line last March. I mean, it was 3 years into him coaching the Oilers, and he finally tries that, and it works like gangbusters. Ty Ratty's added to the combination. They do well late in the season. They're killing it in the preseason. But already we have Coach McClellan talking about maybe moving away from that and maybe going back with Draisaitl, maybe having RNH on the second line. You know, we saw RNH on the second line last year with Milan Lucic on that line, and it was not good. They did not work well together on the attack and in the defensive zone. They were also both struggling. I just don't buy it that RNH is actually as good second line center as Leon Draisaitl. I think Draisaitl is a superior defensive player and far more capable of carrying the puck. So for the coach to make that equivalency, I'm not buying that equivalency. I think Draisaitl is well ahead. And if you stick with him on the second line as a center, he's going to advance. And I think actually making that commitment to keeping him at the center is a big part of him succeeding, because everyone's got to buy into this idea. And if the option's there, and now McClellan didn't raise this, but this is what he went to last season when things went a little bit wrong or iffy at the start of the year. He went right to McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the same line. And I'm worried that if there's even a hint of staleness for a game or two, we're going to see that right back to that combination of McDavid and Draisaitl. And it didn't work for the team last year. I don't think it's going to work this year. And I would just rather see the coach stick with this line, these three players, McDavid, Nugent-Hopkins, and Ratty, who seem to work so well together. McDavid is a guy who needs the puck. Draisaitl needs the puck. When they're on the same line, there's only one puck and two guys who need it, and they start looking for each other too much. They get too fancy. They get too pretty. They don't take full advantage of their own skill sets, whereas RNH and Ratty are both one-touch players with the puck. They get it, they move it. They get it, they move it, and they move it. The play doesn't die with them because they move it well. It gets right on the stick of McDavid or right on the stick of a defenseman. And I can't – it's just – I'm actually getting a great deal of joy of watching this line together as a hockey fan. I mean, that's why we're in it as hockey fans, is to get a thrill from the home team, some joy, aesthetic joy from their play together. The hockey we see makes sense. It's elevated in some way. And that's what we're seeing from this line right now. So yeah, I was bugged by McClellan's suggestion. Well, we might have to break it up. And I'm damn sure that McDavid mentioned over the summer a couple times that he wasn't exactly thrilled. I mean, he just kind of hinted at it. He was very careful when he talked about this, but he wasn't exactly thrilled with all the line shuffling going on and being with this guy, that guy, and talked about the difficulty of developing chemistry under those circumstances. So coach, listen to McDavid. Listen to what he's hinting at, and keep this line together. I want to see them together at least for a month. And yeah, I get it. If things aren't working, if the Oilers are losing and neither line is working, you might want to shake it up. And honestly, I'm not sure that the Draisaitl, Milan Lucic, Tobias Reeder line is going to work. Could well be that Draisaitl needs to be with Jesse Puljujärvi and Kyler Yamamoto, for instance, as his line mates, or Reeder and Puljujärvi, or Yamamoto and Puljujärvi. I'm not convinced Lucic is going to work out there. I'm mainly worried about Lucic's defensive play, honestly, in that regard, because it was in the defensive end that he really let the team down, I thought, last year. And he didn't score much, but if he can get it done defensively in a top-line setting, that's a big part of the game, and he's fully capable of doing so, but I'm not convinced that's going to work. Draisaitl really needs to take ownership of the center position on defense too, and so far in the preseason, we haven't seen it that much, and we didn't see it entirely against Cologne either. He can be kind of playing that floater Ivan Hlinka, Vladimir Ružička game that we've seen from Czech centers in the past, where they're not completely fully digging in and engaged in the defensive end. So we need to see that from Draisaitl. I guess Draisaitl's not a Czech like those guys. Is his dad Czech? So let's wrap up the podcast there. But I do want to just, on a non-hockey note, we got some mixed news at the Edmonton Journal today, and that Paula Simons, our renowned columnist, is leaving the Journal. And I just can't say how much I'm going to miss you, Paula, at the Journal. You've been a great friend, a great colleague. We've had numerous debates, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of debates over the years on various issues, but they've always been educational. It's always been great to hear your views. It's always been good to have that back and forth between two people who don't see the world necessarily in the same way, but both have great hopes for the world and great hopes for the city and great hopes for Alberta. And I'm sure that you in Ottawa will continue to fight for all those things, for Edmonton, for Alberta, for Canada, and for the world. Good luck in Ottawa, Paula. Alrighty, I'll wrap it up there. Thanks everyone for listening. And in the meantime, and in between time, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.